Snake, this is Otacon. Quickly, you've got to listen to Mike the Birdman Dodd and reviewaday.ca. Snake? Snake? Snake!
This week in Geek in the Brain. Is this week in Geek Psych Skills.
We're now flying with the Birdman.
My God.
Hey guys, what's going on? You're listening to ReviewAday.ca. I'm Mike the Birdman Dodd. And well, I'm not quite sure where you'll be listening to this particular review because, well, I'm everywhere now. Free from the shackles of bondage that I was previously attached to. And now, a free agent, if you will, out in the world of video game reviewing. And well, we're going to start things off with something amazingly mediocre. Well, guys, in today's review a day, we're going to look at a PlayStation 4 game. I've been playing that system a lot more in the last month. And we're going to be looking at The Amazing Spider-Man 2 from Beenox. And once again, this is for the PlayStation 4. And this is, it's kind of hard to quantify this game because I would call this game amazingly average from the get-go here. Now, I'm a huge fan of Spider-Man. I've been pretty much been a fan since I was a kid. And when I first played, the 2004 game for Amazing Spider-Man 2, I absolutely loved it. And because, it's an open world Spider-Man. It's like Spider-Man, but Grand Theft Auto. You can pretty much do whatever the hell you want. There's free web slinging. You can stop crimes. You realize we've been playing the same game for about 10 friggin' years. Is how I would sum up this latest experience, because The Amazing Spider-Man 2 has a lot in common with previous Spider-Man games, and this one was developed by Canadian developer Beenox. These guys are located over in Quebec City, and well, I don't know, because I think one of their first games they did for Spider-Man back in 2010 was a game called Shattered Dimensions. I thought that game was remarkably cool. Edge of Time sucked. The Amazing Spider-Man was alright, although for some reason Spider-Man was fighting the Reapers. And in The Amazing Spider-Man 2, they kind of go back to basics with it, and it kind of works and kind of doesn't. Now, originally I was actually going to do a whole gag at the beginning of this episode where I was like, I was going to like parody the original Spider-Man theme song, like, here comes the amazingly average Spider-Man. Hey there, listen, bud. Here comes the game. I don't know. Either way, it was lame. It was stupid. Let's get into this so you guys can know what the flip I'm talking about. Well, for gameplay / storyline, think of this as kind of an alternate telling of The Amazing Spider-Man 2, though not really, all things considered, though they do share some similarities with the Green Goblin and Electro. Basically, it's a couple of years he's been Spider-Man, although Gwen Stacy's not involved in this game whatsoever. And, you're trying to hunt down your Uncle Ben's killer. He's been out there, out patrolling the streets, trying to find the man with the mysterious star tattoo. And, well, you eventually find the guy. Turns out there's this huge gang war going on in New York because they're afraid of someone known as the Carnage Killer. You can guess where this is going. And you run into characters like the Shocker, and you actually steal the Shock abilities from him, and you can incorporate those into your suit. But more about that later. And basically, you try and catch Cletus Cassidy, although there are several different subplots, and one involving Felicia Hardy as the Black Cat and the cross-species genetic experiments that were happening. One where Kraven the Hunter teaches you how to hunt, and he wants to take down you as the epitome of his hunting trophies because you're the most successful cross-species experiment, blah, blah, blah. You run into the Kingpin, who is one of the stupidest bad guys I've ever fought in the game. Then they randomly shoehorn in Electro and the Green Goblin because they're like, oh, shit, we made a movie license game. Maybe we should, you know, put some elements of that in this. And the main storyline will take you anywhere between 6 to 8 hours to go through, depending. It took me a lot longer because I was going for collectibles. But I'll talk about those a little bit later in the review. In terms of gameplay, you control each of your arms for web swing. So left trigger controls the left, and you get the idea. You can still do the web strike where you grab a guy with web and you flingers off at him. You can do the web rush mode where you basically look at something, web it, and you can rush towards it. Makes getting around the city a hell of a lot faster. And it's basically a new coat of paint on the Amazing Spider-Man 1, if I remember correctly. It's not that it's a bad game, I would say. It's just, it's painfully average. Though combat is kind of fun. I found dodging with the spider sense in this game was a hell of a lot easier. Plus, you do get rewarded for doing signature moves. You get, like, more XP, which can be used to upgrade suits. That's right. You get multiple costumes in this game, each of them doing something a little bit different in terms of boosting to your stats. Like, you get access to the Spider-Man Noir costumes if you got the pre-order bonus for this game. You get one called the End of the Earth, which is like basically spider armor. You get the Iron Spider, you get Ultimate Spider-Man from Miles Morales' run. You get Spider Carnage if you beat the game. You get the Scarlet Spider, though not the cool one from the 90s, where it was the jean jacket and the red spandex. You also get, let me see, Cosmic Spider-Man, which I thought was kind of a nice nod. And a couple other armors here and there. There's one called the Electro Proof and a few other ones. I haven't gotten all the suits in the game because I think you get rewarded for doing the races in this. Yeah, you can race. Who cares? And stuff like that. Plus, like I did mention, you do get the Shocker's abilities. Basically, it's like impact webbing. You can knock people back. It's the only real way to kill brutes. And you can affect some bosses with it, most notably Carnage and the Kingpin. You also get something called ionic webbing, which basically you web guys that have armor, it melts their armor, making them easier to take down. Whatever, it's a minor thing. But you also have to go around the city stopping huge gun battles. You can rescue people from burning buildings, which is more of a pain in the ass than what you might realize. Rescuing people who might have gotten trapped under a car or wreckage or something. And you can stop petty crime. And the main idea of that is there's this meter called Hero and Menace. And there's this thing called the Task Force. If you're a menace, they'll come after you. If you're a hero, they'll leave you alone. Although you can't turn this off once you beat the game. It's kind of a pain in the ass. I was actually talking about this with someone over Twitter the last couple of days. And it's just, it slows down the game. Although, pro tip, if you leave it at Menace level 3, you can be hunted by something called the Hunter, but first it has to have this little drone come out and tag you for like 10 or 15 seconds. Just web the shit out of that and avoid the officer's checkpoints, and you're pretty much left alone. I found it actually a hell of a lot easier to do that rather than keep doing heroic deeds, although that's the only way to level up your suit. To get different abilities and different bonuses. And sometimes your hero and menace meter affects the bonuses that you get on each of the particular suits as well. My two favorite suits, though, were definitely the Spider-Man 2099. It looks fantastic in this game. And the Spider-Man Black suit. I'm a huge fan of Venom. Doesn't surprise you. My current costume is Spider-Carnage. Because it's cool. But, anyway. Nothing really kind of standout-ish in terms of gameplay, although there are sections where you do have to do quote-unquote investigations as Peter Parker. They're kind of stupid, to be honest with you. And there's also this other odd mechanic, and it's not quite branching decision trees, but they have conversation trees, kind of. And there's no real reason for them, because it doesn't affect the storyline in any way. You just get to choose what information you want to hear from them. Why you wouldn't want to hear anything or everything they say anyway, whatever, party on. So let's move on to the graphics for this game. This does not look next-gen to me. Like I said, I'm playing this on the PlayStation 4. I expect something. I encountered a number of graphical glitches while playing through this game. My favorite being a police truck driving through a building and having cop cars, because sometimes you'll catch the bad guys, they'll throw them in the back of a SWAT van. My favorite is having that happen, then having cars just drive through them. Having people clip through buildings, or having the entire map randomly disappear while I'm swinging through the air and I happen to get too close to a building. Plus, using your spider sense in this game paints the world in this weird blue thing, and sometimes it's easier to see the hidden collectibles in the game, sometimes it's not, it kind of depends. And sometimes your spider sense does just doesn't want to work at all. Character models in this game look friggin' atrocious, unless you're Spider-Man. Most notably, Harry Osborn looks like he's been resurrected from the dead through any of his cutscenes. The Kingpin looks terrible. I mean, I know he's supposed to be this big fat dude, and I myself can definitely agree with that, because I'm a big fat dude myself, but it looks terrible. I think the only really cool people I saw in this game is I liked the look of Black Cat, Carnage, and the Shocker. I think they looked particularly cool. In fact, I would even venture Electro looks better in this game than he does in the movie, all things considered. Yeah, it's not very pretty, and in any cutscenes, just they don't look nice, which is unfortunate, too. Although, cutscenes do not take into effect what costume you're wearing, if it's a predetermined cutscene. Like, for example, when you beat the game, you're in your Amazing Spider-Man outfit. Or, when you save people, it cuts to this news report, you're always in your Amazing Spider-Man outfit. However, if it's in-game engine cutscenes, yeah, it takes that into account. But I don't know, I think it's a very ugly game, at least on the next gen consoles. I'd say this looks like PS3, Xbox 360 about 2 years ago, middle of the road. And I think that's being remarkably generous. It's not pretty. That's not to say there aren't some cool moments in the game that look neat, but overall it's kind of hideous. Moving on to the sound for this game, well, the voice cast for this is, I would call, wildly inconsistent. The guy who does the main voice for this, the guy that plays Spider-Man, well, he doesn't sound like Andrew Garfield whatsoever. The guy who does the voice is a guy named Sam Riegel. He did Donatello on the 2003 series of Ninja Turtles and a bunch of other crap. He sounds a lot like the guy who did the voice for Spider-Man in the 90s on Fox, which isn't a bad thing. Everybody else in this game, Stephen Bloom as Kraven the Hunter, is actually really awesome. Really a big fan of that. Allie Hillis, who I'm pretty sure is Liara from Mass Effect, is the Black Cat. Stan Lee does a fantastic job as himself. Everybody else. Kind of sucks. The voice actor for the Kingpin, particularly, is terrible. Like, I really wish they'd gotten the guy who did the amazing... I really wish they got the guy from the 90s Spider-Man cartoon to come back and do it. Or maybe Michael Clark Duncan. What the hell's he doing right now? Just, it's terrible. I mean, if a voice could have texture... This guy feels like he's laying down... reading his lines underwater. It's so bad. It's utterly terrible. And the sound design for this game is also shit. And here's what I mean by that. There'll be points where you get to these gun battles with the cops, and the bad guys will be like, "Smells like bacon around here!" And this irritating as shit gunfire sound. Guns should sound crunchy. They should have a little bit of punch behind them, if you will. These ones sound like they took a room full of hot air popcorn poppers and just hooked up a microphone. It's annoying as shit, and once you hear that comparison, you will not be able to unhear it. It's terrible. Like I said, the main significant point of voice acting for this game is definitely Spider-Man himself. Everybody else is terrible. The guy that plays Carnage isn't bad. Otherwise, sound effects, they're pretty much middle of the road, except for the gunfire. Music is nothing special whatsoever. It's overall, it feels lazy. It really feels lazy when you compare it to the effort they put through, say, Shattered Dimensions. But it's a movie licensed game. Why should I expect more? So finally, let's move on to multiplayer slash extras. No multiplayer, thank God. Extras, though, you can go around the city to these different hideouts held by the Russians and unlock different Spider-Man costumes. That's kind of cool, because they're kind of like stealth sections. Some of them are more annoying than others, but still kind of cool. I did enjoy that part of the game. You can also collect comic books, which you get the first appearance of Electro, the Shocker, Carnage, a 5-part series in Ultimate Spider-Man, I think, called Learning Curves. There's 300 pages. I've got 297. Although I've got the trophy for collecting everything, so I kind of wonder what that is. There's also a combat challenge. There's like an arcade machine in the Stan's comic book shop. It's basically just horde mode. Just kick the crap out of bad guys. And you unlock concept art, which is the beginning of the friggin' game. It's so lazy. I've only unlocked 2 or 3 pieces of it because I just got frustrated with it. It's not worth it. It's really not. Although you do collect figurines as well, which unlock after major battles. Some of those are kind of cool looking. There's also audio logs you can collect, which don't add a whole lot to the story. They try and give it texture, but it ultimately falls really flat. I don't know. Can I recommend this game? You know what? I had fun with it, despite all the complaints I've just given you. I'd give it probably a 6 out of 10 is where I'd have to kind of fall this one. Because it's fun, but at the same time, they could have done a hell of a lot more with it. I expected more. And for some reason, it seems like the developer is getting progressively worse with developing Spider-Man games. I don't know. Beanox, I really hope you can step it up to the plate next time you do a Spider-Man game. Because you had some cool elements in here, but ultimately, So anyway, guys, that's pretty much going to do it for this edition of Rad Review A Day. Next game I'm going to review, I don't know. I'm just going to see what's on the shelf and see what I feel like playing. As always, keep it locked here to thisweekingeek.net. I should be over on nerdvice.com pretty soon. And perhaps some other places, so stay tuned. You never know where I'm going to be. I'm everywhere. So, guys, until next time, been Mike the Birdman Dodd saying, live free or die hard. And I'll catch you guys again next time right here on reviewaday.ca.